Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, November 21st. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures rebound after yesterday's sell-off wiped out gains for the year.
Bonds in Italy rally on word of a possible budget compromise.
The White House ramps up criticism of China.
And oil rebounds ahead of the weekly oil inventory report.
President Trump says the benefits of good relations with Saudi Arabia outweigh the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Plus a warning about romaine lettuce. I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm Rob Buschka. Head in sports, the Knicks fall to the Blazers, Nets win in South Beach, and two of the game's best on a collision course in Maui.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker, and we check the markets for you every 15 minutes right here on Bloomberg Radio. U.S. equity index futures after yesterday's sell-off, they are rising along with European shares. And oil also in the news, more on that in just a moment. Treasury slipping, the dollar falling against major currencies except for the yen, and gold climbing along with industrial metals this morning. Bitcoin also holding a nine-day drubbing. Italian bonds this morning pairing their gains as the league denied a possible budget compromise there. As we look to futures in the U.S., S&P futures right now up 11 points. That's up 0.5%. And the Dow futures, they're 90 points higher. That's up 0.4%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures this morning up 41 points, up 0.6%. The German DAX is up 0.6%. The FTSE in London up 0.6%. And the CAC in Paris right now is 0.4% higher. The euro 113.78, up just slightly against the U.S. dollar. And again, we check the markets for you every 15 minutes after trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Nathan.
John, yesterday's U.S. equity sell-off did remain contained overnight, with stocks in Asia posting just modest losses. Bloomberg's Juliet Salley reports from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index finished off the lows of the day, while markets in Hong Kong and China showed some green shoots of strength in late trade. Japan's TOPIX Index closed lower by 0.61% in Tokyo, while the risk-off sentiment failed to send traders to the yen in late Asian trade. In Singapore, Juliet Salley, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. The Dow and S&P 500 are now down 1% on the year. Still, Morgan Stanley Chairman and CEO James Gorman doesn't see echoes of the financial crisis in this sell-off. He spoke with Bloomberg from Morgan Stanley's New York headquarters.
It's not 2008. It's not the dot-com bubble burst of 2000. It's not when I first came to the U.S. I was coming out of graduate school in 1987. I mean, listen, this is a market correction that we're going through right now. This is well within our wheelhouse of what we can handle.
In October, investors pulled the most money out of stock and bond funds in more than 3 years.
President Trump once again is blaming the Federal Reserve for equity losses. He calls the central bank a problem as he continues his push for lower interest rates. Policymakers, though, are still on track to hike when they meet next month.
And those rate increases have pushed up the return on cash. And Bloomberg market strategist Mark Cranfield says that could keep investors away from equity and credit markets.
If you're looking at a one-year yield of at least 2.6%, it actually makes it quite good for you to just keep your money there. Once we get past Thanksgiving Day, market volumes will slow down. People will have less and less to do, and they'll probably just be setting their sights on how should I plan for 2019.
Well, Cranfield says this year is not likely to end well for global equities.
And meanwhile, the Trump administration is accusing China of continuing a state-backed campaign of stealing intellectual property and technology. Greg Sullivan has details on that from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The U.S. Trade Representative has not seen any fundamental changes in the way China conducts its practices, especially with regards to intellectual property and what they call forced technology transfers. These practices are at the heart of the Trump administration's grievances towards the Chinese. Along with that trade deficit with the country, it's these practices that have really struck a chord with the Trump administration.
And the new accusations come just 10 days before President Trump meets Chinese President Xi Jinping at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires.
And at the same time, The Trump administration is fighting the CEOs of BMW, Daimler, and Volkswagen to the White House. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump plans to talk with the auto execs as U.S. and European officials work to negotiate a new trade agreement. That meeting is set for after the Thanksgiving holiday.
In Italy, bonds are gaining on word of a possible budget compromise, although Deputy Premier Matteo Salvini is disputing the report, saying he's not open to lowering spending. And Italian media are now reporting the EU has officially rejected Italy's budget. That headline crossed the Bloomberg terminal just moments ago.
And UK Prime Minister Theresa May in Brussels today for Brexit talk. She meets with European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker tonight. Meanwhile, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel says Britain's exit agreement must be signed off at Sunday's planned EU summit.
In France, Carlos Ghosn is set to stay on as chairman of Renault, at least for now. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more.
Both Renault and the French government not being too committal on the future of Carlos Ghosn, other than Renault reaffirming that Carlos Ghosn will stay on for now as chairman and CEO.
In the meantime, Renault's chief operating officer will lead the company. Japanese media report Carlos Ghosn will be held for questioning for another 10 days.
Sheryl Sandberg has come under fire for her handling of Russia's propaganda campaign on Facebook. And now the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, is coming to her defense, telling CNN he wants her to stay on at the company for decades.
Sheryl is a really important part of this company and is leading a lot of the efforts to address a lot of the biggest efforts that the biggest issues that we have. And she's been an important partner for me for 10 years.
The chief operating officer, Sheryl Sandberg, has been under pressure following a report she tried to prevent the public from learning about Russia's interference in the 2016 election.
Crude is rebounding from yesterday's 6% plunge ahead of the Energy Information Administration's weekly oil inventory report. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
Traders are gearing up for a ninth straight rise in domestic crude stockpiles after last week's monster 10 million barrel build. But the bulls may catch a break. API reported a supply decline of 1.55 million barrels. If we do see a surprise draw, crude prices might have a chance to rally. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jessica. And ahead of that report, we're getting word from Saudi Arabia that the country's crude production surged to a record this month. Checking oil now, the price of Brent is up 91 cents to $63.44 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate is at $54.27. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get a check of world and national headlines. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump said he won't let the murder of U.S.-based columnist Jamal Khashoggi jeopardize relations with Saudi Arabia, citing the potential impact on oil prices and Iranian influence in the Middle East. The president says the kingdom's strategic importance outweighs the horrible crime perpetrated against Khashoggi.
China and Russia would love to make $100 billion worth of military equipment from Saudi Arabia. We have the contracts. They wanted those contracts. That would be a big, fat, beautiful gift to Russia and to China. They're not going to get that gift.
President Trump said he would stand by Saudi Arabia regardless of whether Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered Khashoggi's death. The special counsel got some answers from the president, but not necessarily on every subject Robert Mueller is looking into. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
It may have taken Trump a while longer to complete his written answers to the special counsel's questions than he first said. Back on Saturday, he told reporters he'd completed them.
I was asked a series of questions. I've answered them very easily.
He said he'd handed them off to his lawyers for review. Leaving the White House last night, he suggested anew. He'd just finished.
The written answers to the witch hunt that's been going on forever. No collusion, no nothing. They've been finished. Finished them yesterday.
Whether Trump answered all the questions is unclear. His lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, complained again that much of what was asked raised serious constitutional issues and was beyond the scope of a legitimate inquiry. And Attorney Jay Sokolow said Trump answered questions regarding the Russia-related topics of the inquiry. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Centers for Disease Control issued an alert after a new outbreak of illnesses caused by romaine lettuce contaminated with E. coli. James Rogers is the director of food safety research and testing for Consumer Reports.
Washing does not remove this bacteria because what it can do is get inside the cells and inside the layers, and so washing doesn't do anything at all.
The CDC says 32 people have been sickened in 11 states. New Jersey will lift a major roadblock to legalized recreational marijuana with legislative committee hearings, a prelude to state Senate and Assembly approval next month. Senate President Steve Sweeney says his House's budget panel will vote next Monday on a bill that assigns a 12% sales tax and allows local governments to collect a 2% excise tax on the drug. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks welcomed one of the best backcourts in the league in the Portland Trail Blazers, and they took over. C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard combined for 60 as the Blazers beat the Knicks 118-114 at the Garden. Coach David Fizdale.
I really love the way we competed. Obviously, you're talking about top team in the West. You know, that team has gone through a lot of wars, and I was just really proud of the way our guys competed. Just trying to find anybody that could speed-wise, you know, get over screens and chase those guys. They're elite, and so that's really, it was more out of just trying to find somebody I can get over those screens and chase people and match some speed on them.
Five Blazers scored in double figures. Knicks fall to 4-14. Nets played with a sense of urgency down in Miami.
Get it into Allen, top of the arc, hands to Russell. Circling left on the left side of the paint to the rim, and he scores again on a left-hand flip off the window. D'Angelo Russell with a team-high 20.
WFAN on the call. Russell finished just shy of a triple-double. Wizards beat the Clippers. Raptors are 14-4 after beating Orlando. It's billed as the nation's premier college basketball tournament. The Maui Invitational, top-ranked Duke beat number 8 Auburn 78-72. They earn a showdown against number 3 Gonzaga for the championship. The Zags took down Arizona 91-74. Locally, Shamari Pond scored 35, including a running floater just under 5 seconds left in overtime to lift St. John's to an 87-86 win over VCU at the Legends Tournament in Brooklyn. And on the pitch, Team USA fell 1-0 to Italy. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. And Deere has just come out with fourth quarter earnings that missed estimates. Fiscal year net income at $3.6 billion. The estimate was $3.7 billion. Shares of Deere are down nearly 3.5% in early trading. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with us, a Bloomberg Business Flash. Let's get right to it with Deere, the only company in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. The earnings are out, and they are not looking good. Oh, dear. Right now, shares in the pre-market, they are down over 4.5%. Deere missing both on the net income side and earnings side. This full-year net income, $3.6 billion, according to Deere. The estimate was for $3.7, also missing on the fourth quarter earnings per share. Again, shares of Deere, which is in the S&P 500, the only company in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today, down 4.7% in the pre-market. And as we look at futures in the U.S., that's not helping. S&P futures, they're up, but up 11 points right now, up 0.4%, peering their earlier gains. Dow futures now up 82 points. That's up 0.3%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, after yesterday's rout, up 43 points this morning. That is up 0.7%. Also seeing some European shares, they're rebounding. In Germany, the DAX right now up 0.5%. The FTSE in London is up by 0.6%. The CAC in Paris up 0.3%. Now, the Nikkei 225, that was down 0.4%. As we look at treasuries, the 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.07%. The 2-year yield at 2.81%. And crude oil, another story today, it is on the rise. NYMEX crude up $1.05. Still, though, in the 50s, $54.48 a barrel. Brent crude is up $1.16 at $63.69. Let's get a look at some of the news from around the world this morning. He had to do that once again for us. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Turkey's foreign minister says the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi should not be covered up for the sake of maintaining trade ties with Saudi Arabia. His comments came after President Trump said the benefits of good relations with Saudi Arabia outweigh the possibility that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the killing. A senior lawmaker in Seoul says President Donald Trump is undermining America's diplomatic and military ties with South Korea, not just its economic relationship, by threatening to impose auto tariffs. Many South Korean politicians are voicing anger and dismay that the Trump administration could impose new tariffs after Korea renegotiated its trade deal with the U.S. earlier this year. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Nets won, along with the Wizards. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:20 is the time now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we look for some signs of life, a glimmer of hope in the global economy, we're joined by Yelena Shulyetova, senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. Yelena, I know you've had a chance to digest the latest housing data. We had a pickup in starts in October. But is that going to be short-lived?
It will be short-lived, in our opinion. And this is just a broader slowing in the housing market that is going on right now. And some rebounds in certain housing data are just probably the signs of what Hurricane Florence impacted the data. And this is just a rebound from the earlier impact. Overall housing market will probably get worse before it gets better. And our analysis show that, you know, home sales will probably fall below 5 million units a month before they start rebounding. So obviously, we all know that interest rates, mortgage rates are affecting housing affordability, and that's what has been weighing on housing data as of late. But mortgage rates is just one part of the story. There are also housing prices, which are decelerating right now. So they will enter into the calculation of affordability. And we think that will boost affordability going into the second half of next year and will help housing market to get a second wind.
Okay, so you think it's going to take a little bit of time then for the rise in mortgage rates to have that effect on affordability that would sort of give the market that overall bounce?
I think we could still see weak housing data going into the end of this year and probably troughing in the beginning of 2019. But as prices decelerate and Bloomberg Economics projects home price growth will slow to low single digits by the end of next year, that will help to revive housing demand and you know, give housing a second chance, and that in turn would help economic growth to continue and business cycle to be prolonged for a few more years.
So then it sounds as though you're keeping your expectations pretty low when the existing home sales read comes out at 10 this morning, Wall Street time.
Yeah, because in September, this could be related to Hurricane Florence. In September, we saw a weak, you know, demand, and that could have, you know, delayed some of the mortgage closings. So, you know, in October. So that could be like just a near-term volatility. But overall, again, I think existing home sales will continue to decline going into the next year.
Now, on this day before Thanksgiving, we don't just have existing home sales. We've got a veritable cornucopia of economic data out this morning, including durable goods orders, initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. In our last less than a minute here, what's your expectation on that?
I think the key thing to watch is durable goods report, because business investment almost stalled in the third quarter of this year. And this data is for the beginning of the fourth quarter. So that could provide us some some clues, you know, as to whether this stall was a one-off thing or it will continue into the fourth quarter of this year. So business investment is a really important thing because so far growth has been driven by consumers, and we are thinking whether other sectors of the economy are going to engage and provide some support to consumers, but we haven't seen that in the third quarter.
All right. Well, enjoy the holiday. Thanks so much
for being
with us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Yelena Shilyeteva, senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics, joining us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning when futures are pointing to some modest gains on Wall Street for this Wednesday morning. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures ahead 119. NASDAQ futures up by 56 points. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Greenwich, inviting you to visit during the Mercedes-Benz winter event going on now. They have the season's best opportunities all month long with a selection as generous as it is gorgeous. Mercedes-BenzofGreenwich.com.
Holiday cheer for Mercedes.
Casting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe higher following the two-day Wall Street sell-off, which saw the Dow fall 945 points. Right now, the Dow futures, they're up 126 points.
And we're also seeing crude oil halted slide after it plunged more than 6% yesterday. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabian oil production surged to a record near 11 million barrels a day this month. The kingdom's receiving stronger than usual demand from clients preparing for a disruption in Iranian supplies. Right now, Brent's trading at $63.57. That's $1.04 higher, while West Texas Intermediate is at $54.39 a barrel. That's a gain of 1.8%.
In the pre-market, shares of Deere down more than 4%. The company reporting earnings this morning below analyst estimates.
President Trump is renewing his criticism of the Federal Reserve. He says the central bank is a problem and again called for lower interest rates.
And it'll be a busy day for U.S. economic data. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Durable goods and jobless claims lead the pack at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists are expecting a tepid report on October durable goods, while jobless claims probably remain close to a half-century low. On the agenda for 10 a.m. Wall Street time, existing home sales, the index of leading economic indicators, and the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. The U.S. is ramping up the trade dispute with China just days before leaders of the two countries meet in Buenos Aires. The Trump administration's accusing China of continuing a state-backed campaign of intellectual property and technology theft.
And talk of a possible budget compromise in Italy. Still, the deputy premier, Salvini, is disputing the report, saying he's not open to lowering spending. And Italian media is now reporting the EU has officially rejected Italy's budget.
It is 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 22.48. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 21.76. John, that's this morning's volatility report.
And this on a day when futures pointed to a higher open, although they pair their earlier gains after yesterday's declines. S&P futures right now up 16 points. That's up 0.6%. The Dow futures right now up 131 points. That's up 0.5%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, 57 points higher. That is up 0.9%. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S., 3.07%. The 2-year yield, 2.8%. German DAX up 76 points. That's up 0.7%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. 6:33 now on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national headlines now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump says the U.S. will stand by the Saudis despite the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. President Trump says he will not let the killing jeopardize relations with Saudi Arabia, citing the potential impact on oil prices and Iranian influence in the Middle East.
I'm not going to destroy the world economy And I'm not going to destroy the economy for our country by being foolish with Saudi Arabia.
President Trump spoke to reporters yesterday as he left the White House to spend Thanksgiving in Florida. Meanwhile, Republican Ohio Governor John Kasich says the president is sending the wrong message when it comes to human rights.
The world scratches his head and wonders, what is becoming of America? And this is really, really serious stuff. The hopes and dreams of people who've had the guts and the courage to stand up against tyranny, this is a dark day for them because they say, does anybody care about me? And when we don't care, it's terrible.
President Trump's legal team submitted written responses to some questions from special counsel Robert Mueller. The president apparently did not answer questions on whether he obstructed justice. Trump's lawyer said the answers only cover events before Trump became president and Russian-related topics. President Trump downplayed reports that his daughter Ivanka Trump used personal emails for government business, saying the emails did not contain classified information and have not been deleted. The president called it fake news. A New York courtroom was shocked as a hung jury led to a mistrial in the case of a murdered jogger in Queens. Chanel Lewis was on trial for the murder of 30-year-old Katrina Vetrano. She was killed in August of 2016 while jogging near her home in Howard Beach. No deaths have been reported in a new E. coli outbreak linked to romaine lettuce, but 13 people in the U.S. and 6 in Canada have been hospitalized. CDC spokesman Tom Skinner.
It's not unprecedented, certainly, that we have outbreaks like this. And we do what we can to move as fast as we can to get the product off the market to ensure people's safety and health.
Skinner says anyone who currently has romaine lettuce should just throw it away. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. Both local teams in action on the hardwood on Tuesday. First stop, South Beach, where the Nets got 20 points from D'Angelo Russell to beat the Heat 104-92. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson.
Listen, I thought we just played great defense the whole game, and I know it wasn't pretty. I know the offense didn't look great, but I'm really proud of our guys. You know, we challenged them, you know, to come with the defensive mentality tonight, especially after giving up 127 to the Clippers. So just fantastic. 13 points the first quarter, and then fourth quarter, 15 points. I mean, that's a heck of a job.
Nets closed out the game, outscoring the Heat 30-15 in the fourth quarter. Knicks weren't as fortunate at home as the Blazers' backcourt did it again.
Willard again now wants to drive on Hardaway. 5 seconds to shoot. Into the paint. Turns, spins, fades away. No. Ball's tipped in the air by Nurkic, and Turner is there for the putback. It's good. Nurkic tipped into the air. Evan Turner with the putback, and the Blazers lead it by 4.
Blazers radio 118-114 as C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard had 60 points for Portland's backcourt, overcoming a game-high 32 from New York's Tim Hardaway Jr. College basketball, top-ranked Duke snuck by number 8 Auburn and will face third-ranked Gonzaga, who blasted Arizona. They'll meet in the championship of the Maui Invitational tonight. Shamari Ponds had 35, including the game winner in overtime. St. John's beat VCU 87-86 at Barclays Center to capture the Legends Tournament. Frozen Floor just won game. Oilers' Connor McDavid scored his 100th goal as they edged the Sharks 4-3. Earlier, they fired coach Todd McClellan and brought in Ken Hitchcock out of retirement. In college football, UCF climbs into the top 10. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
All right. Rob, thank you very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
How did Facebook become the nexus of so many crises? By all appearances, Facebook takes a dim view of its users, holds Congress and regulators in contempt, responds ruthlessly to criticism, and broadly eschews self-examination. So you can't blame Congress if it doesn't buy the company's latest apology. Demanding more transparency about data breaches and about who's paying for Facebook ads would be fully justified. Congress should also probe whether social media is harming mental health, particularly among the young. However, imposing a federal privacy regime on the European model could worsen matters. An information fiduciary standard, in which data collecting companies would pledge to act in their users' best interests in exchange for limited immunity, is the better way to go. There's no denying Facebook's errant ways. If Congress does indeed drop the hammer, the company will have no one to blame but itself. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Flu season's here, and last year's historic death tolls prompting more people to seek a shot. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Last year, we had the highest death toll from the flu in at least four decades.
There were about 80,000 people that died, including 185 children.
Bloomberg Law's Ayanna Alexander says one survey indicates more people are choosing this year to get the vaccine.
There were 66% of Americans that were surveyed by the Harris Poll for CVS Pharmacy, and they said that they still plan on getting one this year. And that's a 5% increase from last year.
Scientists are confident this year's vaccine is a better match for this year's likely strain of the flu. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. It's 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
While the body count and damage assessment goes on, yet another day has gone by with the Trump administration pressing its political debate over California's wildfires. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke arranged a call with reporters and reiterated the administration's blame of, quote, radical environmentalists for blocking thinning and grazing in forests that he says could prevent wildfires. During a visit to the California fire zones last week, he appeared to make a nod to the changing climate.
The seasons have gotten longer. The temperatures are hotter. We're in the midst of a historic drought.
Zinke called these wildfires unsustainable. Now he blames lawsuit after lawsuit by groups that he says would rather burn down the entire forest than cut a single tree. Much of the California land that has burned recently is covered with brush and grass and few trees. And many wildlife experts and California officials point out that thinning trees would not have affected those blazes. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thanks. You got green on the screen after the broad sell-off with S&P futures up 17 points, Dow futures ahead by 133, NASDAQ futures gaining 61 points. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. Some breaking news on Apple. Apple crossing the Bloomberg right now. Foxconn, the biggest assembler of iPhones, is planning some deep cost cuts. This is according to an internal memo that's been obtained by Bloomberg, saying Foxconn aims to cut $2.9 billion in expenses next year. Again, Apple's biggest iPhone assembler being sent to planned deep cost cuts just to crossing the Bloomberg terminal this morning. And also on the terminal this morning, we got earlier some shares of, in the pre-market, shares of Deere down about 2%. They reported earnings that missed estimates. And after yesterday's big sell-off across markets, S&P futures in the U.S. this morning, they're up 12 points. That's up 0.5%. The Dow futures, 97 points higher. That's up 0.4% right now. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, they are up 37 points. We have Treasuries, the 2-year yield right now, 2.8%, the 10-year yield at 3.07%. Crude oil in the news once again. It is on the rise this morning. NYMEX crude up 1.8%. That's up 96 cents a barrel at $54.39. And Brent crude is up $1.07 a barrel at $63.60. That's a rise of 1.7%. And again, repeating our breaking news on Apple crossing the Bloomberg this morning. Foxconn, the biggest assembler of iPhones, planning some deep cost cuts. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump's lawyers say that the president has provided the special counsel with written answers to questions about his knowledge of Russian interference in the 2016 election. However, Trump's legal team rebuffed Robert Mueller's queries whether the president sought to obstruct justice. The 2018 Thanksgiving travel getaway is underway. More than 48 million drivers are expected to hit the road this weekend, the busiest Thanksgiving in more than a decade. Amtrak expects more than 750,000 passengers in the next few days. And if you are flying, you'll be joined by about 3 million people flying just today. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Nets won along with the Wizards. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, speaking of flying, humans flew for the first time on this date in 1783.
Oh.
Two Frenchmen soared above Paris in a hot air balloon. Benjamin Franklin said he felt a mixture of awe and admiration when he witnessed the ascent of the Montgolfier brothers' invention.
Yeah, nice this day in history mention, Michael, the day before they fill up all those balloons for the Macy's parade.
That's right, and I'm sure both brothers were saying this will lead to tight airplane seats. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yeah, those hot air balloon buckets do look relatively roomy compared to Coach. Thank you, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker discussing the fight against opioids as he tours JFK Airport's mail distribution center this afternoon. The World Trade Organization is expected to consider requests to launch a dispute investigation into President Trump's steel and aluminum tariffs. And the president is hinting on Twitter now that he might attend next year's White House Correspondents' Dinner now that an author and historian rather than a comedian is headlining the event. Also making news this morning, President Trump making clear that the U.S. will not let the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi get in the way of its relationship with Saudi Arabia. Bloomberg Chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli joins me now with more on that. Kevin, I'm curious to hear what you made of that exclamatory statement from the president yesterday saying, we may never really know how involved Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was in Khashoggi's killing.
Nathan, I'm having a really hard time hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So essentially, President Trump facing criticism this morning, Nathan, because of his statement regarding Saudi Arabia. He says that the relationship, particularly the business ties between the U.S. and Saudi, are important to U.S. jobs. In his statement, he specifically mentioned Boeing as well as other companies like Lockheed Martin. That said, yesterday I spoke with Congressman Brendan Boyle, a Democrat from Philadelphia, and what he said was essentially, while criticizing Mohammed bin Salman for the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, that the relationship between the U.S. and the Saudis is an important one. The president, however, is facing deep skepticism from Republicans and Democrats alike, who feel that he is overlooking human rights violations, as well as not really listening to the intelligence community, which has said that they have evidence that MBS was, in fact, implemented in the killing of Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah, in that statement, though, Kevin, we saw that President Trump said that the intelligence community is continuing to gather the information. Is there a sense, though, that the intelligence community has firmed up its assessment and does indeed tie MBS to what happened at the consulate?
Well, it would appear that way if you talk to lawmakers of both parties on Capitol Hill, as well as from the international community. The president says that folks might not ever know specifically what had happened. Either way, this is without question the first geopolitical test for the young Saudi prince. And there are many folks in Washington and both parties who are calling for the U.S. to reevaluate its relationship with this new young leader. Now, that said, the Saudis are a crucial part of U.S. foreign policy, particularly as they have trended towards the U.S.'s most important ally in the region, of course, being Israel, and as they have also been at odds with Iran. So in terms of the geopolitics of this, it is a very, very delicate situation, number one, but also part of a larger play that the U.S. has been making, not just in the Trump administration, but also in the Obama administration, which is why this has been so shocking, really, to so many folks in the foreign policy sphere to see this new Saudi king really put at risk so many different geopolitical factors.
Let's move on to specifically inside Capitol Hill, where the new Congress is taking shape. Democrats, of course, have been talking about opening up investigations against this president. And there's a pretty key job opening for a position that could be President Trump's first line of defense on the House Judiciary Committee.
Yes. And that's, I think, what's particularly interesting is we're starting to see now that Nancy Pelosi is poised to become the Speaker of the House, despite the 16 or so defections that really became concrete yesterday when the Marsha Fudge, who was a congresswoman, a Democrat, that they had wanted to see, that folks opposing Nancy Pelosi wanted to see challenge her for Speaker. She said she wouldn't be running. In terms of the different committees, you have people like Elijah Cummings, Maxine Waters, both of whom are poised to take the chairmanship position. Then, you know, the Democrats are going to have to decide how specifically they're going to investigate, as well as work with this administration on things like infrastructure, on things like lowering the cost of prescription drugs. So it's set to be a very contentious time over the next couple of months here in Washington.
Yeah, in our last minute here, Kevin, how do Republicans, if at all, plan to counter some of those investigations? And we've already heard many of the incoming chairmen plan to mount against this president.
Well, Nathan, I think you're starting to see this. I think that you just in terms of Matthew Whitaker, I think that's one potential area that the president is looking to use. But then just very quickly, I would note that if there's one thing that President Trump has taught us, it's that he knows how to counterpunch.
Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, enjoy the holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington by tuning into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. John.
All right, Nathan, thanks to both of you. It is now 6:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. As a Detroit firefighter, Dave Shimalewski cooked up a number of recipes in the kitchen for his fellow firefighters when they weren't battling flames. Their favorite turned out to be his toffee. So popular, in fact, that son Andrew quit school to bring it to the masses.
Yeah, we would sell at craft shows and local high schools, things like that, giving it to family and friends. And eventually people started to call the house, request jars by the dozen. And, you know, I saw an opportunity and just decided to start a business.
Well, Andrew just wrapped up 10 weeks of business training as part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses. Dave's Sweet Tooth Toffee now sells in Kroger's, Whole Foods, Bed Bath & Beyond, and online. And they're up to $1 million in sales. As for his dad, Dave, well, he is still cooking.
Sometimes we lock him in the kitchen with a basket full of ingredients, like, you know, one of those TV shows, and don't come out until you have something new, you know.
And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. And this comes on a day when futures in the U.S., at least, are pointing to a higher open. The S&P futures up 14 points. That's up 0.5%. The Dow futures up 113 points. That's up 0.5%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 45 points higher. That is up 0.7%. Now, right now, Apple shares, they are the most actively traded in the pre-market. The share price relatively unchanged at this point. The news that broke this morning about Foxconn Technology Group, that's the biggest assembler of Apple iPhones, they aim to cut about $2.9 billion from expenses in the next year as it faces what they call a very difficult and competitive year. This all according to an internal company memo. It was a miss for Deere & Company, the only company in the S&P 500 reporting earnings this morning. Those shares in the pre-market down 2.5%. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with John Farrell and Tom Kane. This is Bloomberg.